At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded.
Good afternoon, dear audience. This is Christian Teig reporting from Koblenz, Germany, on CompuGroup's second quarter 2016 conference call. Welcome everyone to this session, which is planned for 1 hour. The first, I would assess, 15 minutes will be to go through the prepared presentation. This is available for download on our website, or you can follow it on the live slideshow. Links to both you will find in the invitation. And again, when we are done with this presentation in about 15 to 20 minutes, then we will enter a Q&A session. So very much the format that we usually follow on our quarterly presentations. So we will now step into the slide deck, and starting with the slide numbered 2. Here we see the key figures of the second quarter 2016. Headline is a somewhat soft quarter. This is weak on revenue, I guess, with okay profitability. Below EBIT, the numbers are driven by FX effect. And in this quarter, this has a positive effect. But again, somewhat soft on revenue, okay on profitability. We move then to some of the normal housekeeping slides. See the moving parts behind the headline figures. The first one is the slide numbered 3. We see now the development over the last 5 years, quarter by quarter, revenue and profitability. Comparing then Q2 to Q1 and looking a bit back in history, we see that in terms of seasonality, Q1, Q2, we have a similar profile this year to 2011, 2012, and 2013. If we look into 14 and 15 and compare year on year to Q2 last year, revenue is down, and profitability is up 1 percentage point. Slide number 4, costs of goods and gross margin. I would say this is a normal quarter on revenue mix and gross margin. Looking a bit back on the quarters here, you can also see that there were some special elements in Q2 last year related both to the Gematik project in Germany and to the hospital business. But where we are today with, say, 82-83% gross margin is the very normal, say, revenue mix and business model of CGM. Next slide, slide number 5, personnel expenses. Both from the number of FTEs and from the reported personnel expenses, we have a stable picture. We are around 4,000 employees or FTEs in the group and costing around 260 million euros per year. That's pretty exactly 65,000 euros per FTE. Slide number 6, the other expenses, they are at, say, normal current levels. We have a goal to bring this down to around 30% of personnel costs. You can see here that we are more in the 30 to 40% range, meaning we are somewhat higher in the medium term as we are still spending quite a bit on consolidating and streamlining our internal systems and structures. But again, from where we are today, this is a very normal, say, level of other expenses. Slide number 7, the operating cash flow. As was expected after Q1, the operating cash flow in Q2 caught up some of the backlog from the delayed invoicing and cash collection following the migration of internal CRM ERP systems at the beginning of the year, meaning quite a bit stronger Q2 cash flows compared to the same period last year, year to date, it's plus or minus the same. We expect this to normalize further in the and to fully say recover and normalize the operating cash flow also in the second half. But again, quite a bit came through now in Q2. Slide number 8, CapEx. Normal level of CapEx, except for two special non-recurring items, under other property and equipment. Moving to slide number 9, the balance sheet. It is a stable balance sheet quarter by quarter. The operating cash flow equals more or less investments in the quarter, and then the dividend payout that we did equals the changing net debt. On group level, no big shifts, and we have a stable, say, statement of financial position. We now move into more of the operating reflections on the operating segments. We start with the software for doctors, and after the introduction slide, we are on slide numbered 11, where we see the doctor software development. On the IS business, it was a relatively soft quarter in terms of the non-recurring sales. In terms of software maintenance and other recurring service fees, that's all okay. If you dive a bit deeper into that, lower inherent demand for PC-related products and shifts in public sector spending, they are hard to influence, but there are clearly also some areas where we can do better, especially on the upselling of add-on software modules, where we had some R&D-related problems in Q2. This is now solved, which puts us in a position to catch up this in the second half. But all in all, flat revenue development and constant currency is not where we see this business growing. I know that between us, me, and many of you, we've had many discussions and reflections on the information, or rather lack of information, in terms of official statements on the Gematik project. We are now on slide numbered 12. Well, it came yesterday in the afternoon, a 33-page document. It is in German, but I'm sure it's possible to translate or gain insight into in some way or another. It is a very, say, comprehensive end-to-end description of the project. And again, even if it was published yesterday, it has a date of the 30th of June 2016, which most likely is not coincidental, as this is the date or the deadline written into the e-health law linked to sanctions, meaning that this document should then, seen from the Gematik and from the insurance side and from the provider side, be the documentation that all preconditions for the nationwide rollout of the telematic infrastructure has been met. It doesn't actually go to the point where it reports detailed progress on any points, any components, or any project part. It basically restates lists over 4 pages, all the milestones in the e-health law, without further comment. I guess we take that directionally as a positive sign, meaning from the Gematik with its shareholders and participants, there is no need to comment any deviation from these milestones, whether they be sanctioned or linked to penalties or incentives or not. But the report just restates them. I would say there are two pieces of good news in these 33 pages. One area which has been unofficially and on the sideline debated to great lengths is whether there would be a need to replace physically the card readers or not. At least now some time has been bought into, say, the combined project and rollout process, as it is now confirmed that at least the testing in the project can be done with the existing card readers with a software update, meaning there would be no need to re-engineer the casing or the tamper-proofing for the purpose of the pilots. They can be done without any delay based on the existing hardware out there. So that's good news, meaning, and that is a very sensible compromise, which buys, I guess, the whole process 3 to 6 months. If you took a worst case scenario where even the pilots would have to wait for this before the pilots then went, testing went, and then into rollout. So that's piece of good news number one. The other one, and if you read then the last section of the document, it lists every single component or main component of the telematic infrastructure. I guess if you read everything, you see that it certainly is more than what we as CGM provide. It is a very large and comprehensive technology platform. On every component, there has been and is a dual source philosophy. And if you read it on every single component, the two sources are listed at identical, say, progress status. Another area which has been the subject for a lot of unofficial, say, speculation and rumors is whether the two so-called connectors, the one that we develop and the one that is developed in the other test region, are out of sync. I mean, we've been somewhat transparent and open to the very limit to what we can under the rules of the project. You know, we have informed that we handed in our connector box for the beginning of test and evaluation in July last year, and that the actual test procedures started in December last year. And now it's clearly stated in the status report that there is officially then the same status of both connectors, meaning they are both undergoing approval tests and the evaluation process of the BSI, meaning that our friends in T-Systems have caught up or at least reached a point where they are also undergoing testing. And as we have said before, they have some ability to accelerate the current phase they are in, as they have an in-house agency who is approved to make these certification tests and can then allocate resources more targeted to say, catch up in the final phase. So I guess now, and this is the case for many, many of the points in this report, it basically waits for the final signing off by the Gematik, meaning a lot is under their command and under their discretion in terms of when to actually start the pilot and the test phase, and then after that when to move into a rollout phase. And every single component is then listed in this report as either being finished or undergoing the approval test by the Gematik. So that's where we are. Final thing, which I think is a strong and good signal, is that it's stated in this status report that they are committed to provide status updates at regular intervals going forward. How often, we don't know, but certainly the period that we've been through, which is actually more than 1 year, I think we are moving into a different phase where there will be much more dynamics into also the news flow, and that the transparency in the project will increase, and that it the timeline of both completion of the various project components and the transition into rollout becomes more and more clear also in terms of its exact timeline. Maybe as a final comment on this, I guess reading through the 33 pages and just taking in the extent or the magnitude of the initiative, and it's clearly stated in the introduction that this is the largest IT project in healthcare all over Europe. You know, this is big. This is has a very high both political and prestige profile in Germany. And for us as CGM, this is happening. This is going forward, plus or minus within the time frame prescribed in the law. And I guess we are mega excited to finally move this forward into a stage where we can begin to talk about rollout. So those were our statements initially now on the Gematik project and the telematic infrastructure. Again, the 33-page document is available for download and can be reviewed from the gematik.de homepage. We then move to our second operating segment, software for pharmacies. That brings us then to slide numbered 14. Similar to the doctor software business, we have some catching up to do. The mechanisms here are somewhat different, whereas on the IS side, catching up means predominantly software. On the pharmacy software side, it predominantly means associated hardware. And to catch up and to, say, get balance in the hardware piece of what we offer to pharmacies, we basically need to look outside, say, the PC world. And in pharmacy area, this means, dispensing robots and other forms of pharmacy automation that we typically also provide to our customers as part of the solution we offer. And you know, integrated hardware and software is an inherent part of how pharmacies buy their IT solutions. So again, a very flat, very uneventful quarter. Again, we need to focus on the non-recurring sales part of the business model and catch this deficit that we saw in the second quarter up in the remainder of the year. Brings us to the third main provider segment, hospitals. Then we are on slide numbered 16. Here we see a very, very two-sided picture. The markets close to home, meaning German-speaking markets, Austria, Switzerland, and Germany, are performing well, very well. And basically, our Eastern European business, extended Eastern Europe, constitute more than the entire organic revenue decline. And the most dramatic change comes from the market in Poland, where we have gone from strong growth and large, say, government-sponsored and EU-sponsored initiatives to a year where there has been a moratorium and a cancellation of all such activities, where we basically only have a fraction of our revenue left. And the large, you know, this normalized already in the second half last year. So we will probably for the full year, end up in something that is close to what we guided for this segment. But of course, there is a big, big impact in the second quarter, isolated, where, you know, all these EU-funded projects in Eastern Europe fired on all cylinders, whereas this year they're all gone. This is then the review of the three provider segments, doctors, pharmacies, and hospitals. We now move into some detail on our HCS business. First one, the communication and data business on slide 17. Very strong first quarter, not so strong second quarter. It is a business that has normal quarterly fluctuations. bookings backlog is strong for the second half of the year, and this is an area where we should be fully in line with our outlook for the full year. Slide 18, the workflow and decision support business. Yeah, more or less the same statement as for the communication and data business. It follows up from the strong beginning to the year. We have the new CardTrust contracts and also the revenue from private insurance side and our joint venture with AXA that has made a step up, which began second half last year and drives strong year-on-year growth, certainly in the first two quarters this year. In the second half, that year-on-year component, you see that on this figure is going to normalize somewhat as this step up came in also in the second half last year. Yeah, brings us then to the tail end of this presentation. Before we reaffirm our guidance, here are some bullets on the expected developments. Clearly, revenue is our area of challenge, and revenue has been lower in the first 6 months than what we have planned. Core part of the business model is okay, no problem there. But certainly in the areas that we can influence, and they are predominantly add-on software on IS and add-on hardware on pharmacies, we need to catch up and to accentuate on the normal seasonality that we have second half versus first half. Clearly, there will be a very different seasonality this year also because of the special effects that we had that reversed some revenue in 2015 third quarter. So all in all, we see a strong second half of the year to compensate from some of this revenue deficit, meaning that the conclusion from our analysis is that we reaffirm the guidance and the outlook, which is here stated on slide 20, meaning full year revenue expected to be in the range 560 to 570 million and EBITDA 125 to 133. And again, in this picture, no revenue expected or incorporated based on rollout of the telematic infrastructure. This was the review of this quarter. Before we go into the Q&A part, on slide 21, just a reminder that we will have two fall events. We will, in October, on the 13th, have our annual investor and analyst conference here in Koblenz. We will send out some save the date reminders shortly. And then the next financial report next quarter, the third quarter, will be reported from us November 9th. This brings us then at the 23-minute mark to the Q&A part. The normal procedure is that you press star 1 on your telephone, and then you will be queued in, and we will take your questions in sequence. Please.
Hi, Christian. That's Knut from Baader Helvea with a couple of questions. When we look at this year's outlook, you mentioned that you launched several new initiatives and campaigns to stimulate revenue growth. Can you share with us a bit more in detail what kind of initiatives they are and how we should think then about the third quarter and the fourth quarter? Of course, the comps in Q3 are relatively easy due to the weak Q3 15, but just getting a feeling for how we should expect dynamics to evolve in the remainder of the year and the nature of these initiatives. When we look at the confirmed full-year guidance after the weaker H1, is what would you consider to be a more likely outcome, the lower end of the guidance or midpoint still or high end? And when we look now at what you said regarding Gematik, I think according to the law, the rollout should have materialized within 24 months. It looks like, based on what you said, that the rollout could rather have finally only 18 months instead of 24. that we, if we would assume that the starting date would be first, finally for the real rollout, the 1st of January next year, is it then fair to assume that we split this one-time revenue opportunity that you have on the 18 months? Is that a fair modeling assumption? Thank you.
Yeah, so to the first question first, which initiatives? I think that's probably best split between the AIS business and the PCS business. For the AIS business, some of this is our initiatives that have already concluded. That means that we have now been able to, in Italy, for example, contract all the expected regional projects for this year, and they have started, and they will generate revenue in the second half. In Sweden, this year there is a lot around this National Patient Summary Initiative, where we managed in July to sign with one of the three large regions the first contract for the delivery of software modules related to this. We still need to get the other regions in. However, they typically operate in Sweden in similar ways, and once the first one is there, then the rest will fall into place so that they all, say, can offer the same functionality from the provider systems into this national patient summary, regardless of whether it's in Stockholm or in Skåne. So those are, say, on the more nationally funded and regionally driven markets that we operate in. When it comes to the other part, which were specifically linked to some delays and problematic R&D-based product launches that we had in Germany, yeah, those products have now been relaunched. They typically are our add-on additional user interfaces, both for traditional workstations and for mobile devices, that essentially has an addressable market, including our dental customers, of about 60,000 units here in Germany. We typically sell such an add-on for 1,500 to 2,000 euros. So it means, you need the product ready. It wasn't sufficiently ready in the first half. That has now been solved. We had a good booking period in July. That needs to continue, but at least the fundamental basis for that to drive a material revenue contribution in the second half is in place. On the pharmacy side, as I mentioned a little bit when I reviewed this segment, it is very much about hardware, so maybe not the most sexy part of our business model, but at least it has some cosmetic hygiene factor, and it is also important, and we believe that we can stimulate the uptake and modernization of the infrastructure with our customers, both in Germany and in Italy. Trade fairs, and in Germany specifically, it's going to be at the CONHIT, where we will launch quite aggressive campaigns in this area, will be the important arenas where we can get effects from these initiatives. So those were the highlights of what has been done and what is in the process of being done. We give our range without comment, but I think it's fair to say that when you come to the middle of the year and you are behind what we expected and behind what all analysts, in all fairness and correctly, also expected, that it would be natural to think more in the lower end of the guidance compared to the higher end. So, I mean, there is ultimately a consequence. And as I said, it's not, it doesn't, we can still hit any part of the range, but again, directionally, after the first 6 months, it would point to the lower end of the part of the range. Third question, final question, can we do the rollout, or is it now reading the 33-page document, assumed that rollout will happen in 18 months instead of 24 months. The short answer to that is yes. A follow-up that might come, you know, can that be done? And would CGM be able to do it, certainly then in the context of addressing own existing customers? So the roughly 65,000 CGM installations out there, can this be done in 18 months? And the answer is yes.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. It's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. A couple of questions also from my side. So regarding the prescription scanner in Italy, is it a similar product as you had in Germany already? And what is the potential of this product? Should we assume similar revenues per pharmacy and a similar profitability? The second is on AIS, the add-on modules that you are delivering. Is it in Italy only, or what exactly, what kind of products is it exactly, and in which regions will you sell those? Second one is on the telematic project. According to some headlines that I saw in the media recently, the health insurance funds have allocated 500 million to the health insurance companies. Is it what we should think of as a budget for the health insurance companies for the rollout? And the last question would be on the hospital business. Where should we see profitability next year after the cost savings measures have been carried out? Thank you.
Prescription scanner in Italy is more or less the same as in Germany. We have a lot of customers in Italy, roughly 13,000. So they are smaller but significantly larger in number than in Germany. And such a scanner with its software is somewhere around 1,000 to 1,500 euros. So, again, in terms of penetrating your own addressable market and your own customers, you can move the needle by having products that catch on. I mean, this was an easy product to distribute and sell. This was mostly then in 2013 and 14 in Germany. And, it's on our arsenal of products that we bring now into Italy. If you look into these robots that I mentioned, which basically are about automation within the pharmacy, you know, these are robots that cost everything from 30,000 euros to 200,000 euros, where we are essentially a reseller with a margin. So again, you can also move the needle by selling a number of these units. So again, we have a strong portfolio of both in-house and say third-party products to bring into the Italian pharmacy software markets. Second question, add-on modules. I think that was specifically for the regional projects in Italy. So Italy doesn't have a lot of central coordination in terms of the role that the regions play. So they are about 20 regions in Italy that in a sense independently fulfill the requirements that are written into national e-health policies. Broadly speaking, they touch the same topics as you see in the German e-health law, the telematic infrastructure, everything that's happened in Scandinavia. It is about breaking down physical barriers and connecting doctors, hospitals, patients, and all participants and stakeholders in healthcare. How this is being done is that each region takes bits and pieces of this, decides what's going to be done in the current year, allocates a budget, and we get reimbursed from the region based on rolling out the enabling software to our doctor customers in Italy, which means for every year we have to negotiate and agree about what and how much gets given and paid to the doctors and then reimbursed and paid for by the regions. Which is different in Sweden, because in Sweden it just basically gets bought by the region and then handed out. But conceptually it's more or less the same. The 500 million which gets thrown around in the press, I don't think would be in, you know, I just neutrally would say that probably doesn't have a lot to do with what the rollout will cost or how it will go. I guess it's a number, but that's still something in terms of, you know, what they will bring forward in terms of financing to the providers is still an open question or still an open topic that needs to be published. And I wouldn't put too much into these numbers that get speculated in the press. You know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of, say, negotiation between the payer side and the provider side. Selectively use the media to some extent, but all in all, I would say this is a pretty clean process so far. Yeah, profitability on the hospital side, as we write in the report, we have taken cost measures and are taking further in Eastern Europe. Again, I think our German-speaking markets are on a good way. And certainly, in its current size, something I would say in the 10 to 20% range is doable. I guess we have given no guidance or outlook for next year yet, so I'm not going to promise that, but that's probably the inherent potential of that business in its current size.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Lars here from Hauck. Christian and I have also a few questions. One is to follow up on the one your answer to Knut already. So if you roll out the infrastructure within 18 months, that would mean you have to bring 3,600 connectors to the customers per month. Historically, I think we were talking about 3,000 connectors per month. So has anything changed on the hardware production there that you can roll it out faster? Then the second question is regarding H2. Could you remind us what you expect on the telematic revenues, what the delta should be to H2 last year? Because of that, I'm struggling a bit seeing how these add-ons you mentioned should roll out for H2 to materialize in 6% revenue growth in H2 year over year to bring you down, bring you to the lower end of the sales guidance. And at the same time, EBITDA in H2 has to increase by 18% year over year to reach 125 million, meaning the lower end of your EBITDA guidance. And I would be happy to get a bit more clarity on that. And the last question is regarding the new plane you bought for 8.2 million, and you were selling the old one for 2 million, basically. So it gives us a delta of CapEx of 6.2 million, kind of one-off. I would like to know how long were you using the old plane? So what's the plan for the new one? How long are you using this? And is there a significant change in the operating cost for that plane? Just to have a view on that one. Thanks.
Yeah. So to the first question first, the rollout in 18 months. So what are potential bottlenecks? So first of all, yes, we see that as doable. So 3,000, and the math is correct, 3,600. In terms of production capacity for hardware, this is no bottleneck. With, I would say, lead time of 4 to 6 weeks, you could essentially produce 100,000 units in 1 month. You just give the go. These are very, say, standardized motherboards, you know, with standard components, plus obviously what we bring in in addition, you know, the identity chips and the SIM cards and these things. But the hardware itself is very much a standard, more or less embedded computer. And again, producing that in volumes that we talk about here is a non-topic. The area where you would get at some point a bottleneck is on installation, training, and support. And we said that if you take all our third-party sales and service partners or service partners in Germany and add our own direct distribution, all, say, the technicians there, to do 3,000 per month, each one would have to do one per week. That's not challenging. And, of course, in the follow-up, there would always be some post-installation follow-up, which would put load on the support side. But that, okay, you may have some longer response times. But, again, I would even say two per week, given also that Germany is geographically easy to manage. You know, when we did this in Norway, travel time and travel logistics, you know, put some limit as to how much a single person can do in a week just getting from one doctor's office to another. But again, I would say even up to 6,000 per month is doable. That means two per week, where you could still do other support and business. But of course, at some point, just the sheer magnitude of new systems and new functions being out there would put a lot of stress into our delivery and support organization. But everyone is excited about this, and I think if there ever was a time where people in CGM would step up to the plate, this is it. So the difference, you know, 3,600, yeah, I mean, for every day we wait or on every day we have less, it becomes directionally more challenging. But it's not as if we are pushing, say, the physical limits. And again, those limits would come into the installation, training, and support side and not on the devices and technical production. Yeah, on the second half versus first half, I would, just to sanity check this a little bit, you can look a bit into our history. The last year where we had, and if you strip out, say, acquisitions done during a year, the last year where we had more than 20 million more revenue in the second half compared to the first half was 2010. Yeah, 11, it was 15 million. But both those years were on significantly lower revenue basis. So, I mean, there is an inherent seasonality regardless of what happened in the third quarter last year, where that's not without precedence in CompuGroup. And again, in terms of what we expect from the Gematik project, we expect roughly the same revenue in the second half as in the first half. And I guess the delta to last year would be 4 to 5 million. So, I mean, we said that in 3Q that there was, so to say, an extraordinary revenue effect of 8 million, which essentially we would then avoid this year. So if you look strictly year on year, the difference, hospital business plus Gematik project, it's 8. But maybe the easiest way to think about it is that, yeah, there needs to be 20 million more in the second half compared to the first half. And again, that's at the high end of a normal seasonality, no more, no less. Your last question on the company aircraft, yes, the old one that we sold, we had for 10 years, and it was sold for 75% of the initial purchase price. The new one we also expect to hold for 10 years, and more or less both of them are very mainstream purchases that should hold their same value in the same ways. And operating expenses are the same. It goes by the hour, and there's no change.
Okay. All right. Thanks for having me.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf again from Warburg Research. A quick follow-up, if I may, Christian. So regarding Italy once again, did I read it correctly that there is a tax incentive of 140% for hardware purchases, which will expire next year?
Yes.
And then we should obviously expect a kind of, in inverted commas, budget flush in this region. And a second
one. It should be, at least if I was a salesperson, I would not be lacking for a punchline when I was trying to sell expensive hardware. As this year, you would essentially more or less get it back over the tax bill in the first year.
Yeah.
So.
And then just quickly on communication and data, regarding the seasonal volatility Q1 versus Q2, what has caused the seasonality? The seasonality was the decline mainly due to some older offerings fading out, or was it the same products that were purchased in Q1 which were not requested in Q2 anymore? Thank you.
The second part. So, I mean, we have now mostly products in this medical value communication arena. And they get booked on products, and the way the pharma companies run their campaigns are on a quarterly basis, and they ran more in Q1 than in Q2. And again, if we look into the coming quarters, we should have a strong second half based just on the backlog of what's now been ordered in. And again, this is Q1 was very strong. Q2 was reversed some of that. But all in all, say there is no, underlying, the shifts in the mix, generics versus research companies and what we actually do, that's in a sense behind us. And now it's about how much we are able to sell in on a quarter-by-quarter basis. There's no recurring revenue in this business. But you have a 3 to 6 month backlog in visibility. So, I mean, we already know what's going to be in Q3 and more or less, except for some top-up bookings that we can do Q4. That's the nature of the business.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Christian. That's Knut once again with a quick follow-up on the U.S. side of the AIS business. Can you just share with us how the U.S. is doing and in terms of revenue growth and also in terms of profitability? That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, so let's just be specific. Revenue in Q2 was $11.4 million. Should also there be somewhat higher, but I guess it's some growth. It was 11 last year. We want that to grow faster, and we still think that we can push that harder. Yeah, profitability is around the same level as last year, meaning 10%. But still with the explicit promise and goal, mostly then from continued revenue development to bring that upwards.
Great. Thank you.
Lars from Hauck again. Just one quick follow-up question, if I may. On the report of the Gematik, page 28, where they comment on the status of the connector, and it says that both T-System and yours are in the same evaluation phase. So that otherwise also means we don't have any visibility at what point of this stage the system is, right? Because you delivered your connector in October already, and we don't know when T-System delivered it, so it could be at the beginning of the evaluation phase. How long does this...
Yeah, and this is absolutely correct. And I guess how to read that. So at least it puts some cap as to what's the difference in progress between the two regions, test regions. Because as you said, the official, so what's this called, Zulassung test der Gematik, so the approval test by Gematik, so meaning not the certification, began in December last year for us. So if you say that, you know, if you read this a bit like the devil reads the Bible and assume that the other one started on the 30th of June, I guess the difference cannot be more than 7 months. Okay? And then, as we've always said, we expect, you know, the other region to be faster than us in this final stage, which is the test and certification period. And then I think the scenario where one system being so far behind that everything got held up and you had big shifts in overall timelines is somewhat mitigated. But exactly when it was, you know, that's in a sense the most extreme reading of this. You know, if you read it with a gentle approach, you would say, well, you know, they were 3 minutes after CGM or even before. You know, you cannot read that from this, and there's no information which would give you insights as to where the two industrial partners are, say, in this final stage. But both are in the final stage.
Okay, great. Thanks.
That appears to be the final question. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for your interest. I would encourage all of you to visit us for our Capital Markets Day in October. And if that not, then to revisit our conference call in November for the third quarter. Thank you and have a good rest of the day.